Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Isn't it a good day to be living for God? Hallelujah. I'm excited about what the Holy Ghost is going to do for us today and for the next several services. Amen. I always like what the Holy Ghost does because he always knows the way. Amen. It's a good day to be in church. This is the most fun Sunday to preach. The day the time changes. Everybody gets real biblical on today. They start becoming like a little child falling asleep in church. And in fact, if I fall asleep on myself, just throw something at me. Remind me where I'm at and I'll keep going. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm excited to be in church today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. Give honor to Brother Sutton, his family. And I want to say he spoke to my heart this week. I tuned in, preached at No Limits. And amen. I appreciate him, appreciate his vision and his ability not just to see the vision, but to cast the vision. And I'm excited to be with you today. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 6 is where I'll start reading. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate is really not wanting to do anything with Jesus, but he is being pressured. In fact, he told the chief priest and the people in verse 4, "I find no fault in this man." And he's so, in verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." Verse 20, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Amen. To their will. I want to preach today, the help of the Holy Ghost, the day Herod and Pilate made up. Amen. The day Herod and Pilate made up. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us today. Father, we trust you. We lean upon your word today. I ask you to anoint my mind, anoint my spirit, God, that I could follow the Holy Ghost today. God, give us ear to hear from you this morning. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Elbow your neighbor really hard and say, "Stay awake and keep me awake." Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Herod and Pilate. For those of you that are don't know who I'm preaching about, Herod and Pilate were rulers in the Roman government in Israel, Judea. Pilate was the governor of Judea, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, and Herod was the tetrarch, or the governor of a quadrant, a fourth part of that country, and he was over Galilee, and his brother was over Iturea and some other parts of Judea, and they were all kind of interconnected, and they were politically connected because they were under the Roman rule, and they were kind of at odds with each other at various times, as political people are. Every once in a while, you'll find yourself embroiled with somebody if you get political. But in this day, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 3, that while these three men, Herod and Pilate and Philip, were rulers in the country, that John the Baptist came and he began to preach the gospel. He began to preach repentance, amen, and righteousness. And John was not afraid of anybody. The Bible says he called them a generation of vipers, amen. And he was so vehemently preaching repentance that the Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 6, that Herod feared John. The word feared there means he respected him. And Mark tells us that Herod feared John and regarded him as a prophet. Matthew chapter 21 tells us that all of these men regarded John the Baptist as a prophet. And Mark tells us that Herod feared John the Baptist, and he went out to hear him often and gladly received his words. And he enjoyed hearing John the Baptist preach. He enjoyed listening to John the Baptist declare unto them that they ought to repent. Amen. And the Bible says of Herod that he did many things that John preached to him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I would like to, maybe I'm just a weird little guy, but I sometimes wish that God would let us look deeper into some of these things that the Bible tells us, just kind of mentions that, you know, Herod was an evil man. You don't have to read just the Bible to discover that, but you go and read history, and Herod and most of the Roman rulers of that day were very evil men. And the Bible tells us that Pilate mixed the sacrifices with the blood of the people. And it was all kinds of trouble going on. But I would love to have been there and just be a fly on the wall at one of John the Baptist's meetings. And Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler of the government part of that country, is sitting in the crowd. And John the Baptist is preaching. Amen. He's preaching repentance. You generation of vipers. Amen. You ought to turn around. You ought to get ready. Amen. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he's preaching, amen, that there's coming one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unleash. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. He's preaching to them. You need to turn around. You ought to get right with God. There's some things you're doing that you need to stop doing. There's some things you're thinking about doing that you don't need to do. He's preaching repentance. He's preaching righteousness. He's preaching godliness. And the Bible said Herod gladly received his words, and he went out often to hear him preach. But Herod had a problem. He was married to Herodias, and she was a dangerous woman. The Bible tells us that Herodias was his brother's wife. Kind of like preaching in Alabama, amen. Well, that's my brother's wife, and they're not together anymore, and we're together now.
I got kids and nephews all in the same house. You know, it's a mess. And undoubtedly there was obviously some sort of stuff going on there. And it was kind of hush-hush, you know. Nobody said anything about it because that's Herod. He'll cut your head off. But John the Baptist comes up to Herod and says, you shouldn't have married that woman. That's your brother's wife. You shouldn't. And Herod knew. He knew better. I really shouldn't have. But Herodias hated John the Baptist because she told them, or he told them, that they needed to repent and get right with God. Herod knew. Conviction fell on Herod. He's right. He's preaching the truth. We shouldn't be. You know, we shouldn't have done what we done. But Herodias, the Bible said, hated him. And Mark said she would have killed him. But she could not. It didn't mean that she didn't have the power. She just didn't get the opportunity. She would have killed him if she could have. She hated John the Baptist because of what he preached. She hated him because he preached repentance to her. She hated him because he preached righteousness to her. And I can see her as she's just, maybe they came to church together one Sunday and Herod is sitting there and Herod's crying because the conviction's on him and he knows, man, I'm a sinner. I shouldn't have done that. I am a viper. I am wrong. I need to get right, and John's convicting message of repentance is touching his heart, and sitting beside him is a mad woman. And she's steaming, and they leave out of church in two different ways. John has convicted Herod. John has touched the heart of this ruler, and his wife is ready to burn the house down. And so she forces Herod to put John in prison. He didn't want to put John in prison. The Bible said he respected John. He feared John. He went out often to hear him preach. But his wife said, if you love me, you'll throw him in prison. So Herod sends somebody and arrests John, throws him in prison. And he says, maybe if he just stays in prison, I can have a little peace at home. But Herodias didn't stop there. She starts setting in motion these events because she hates righteousness and she hates repentance and she don't want to hear truth preached. And so she knows the Bible said it was a convenient day in Mark chapter 6. She sets in motion. She starts sending out these cards and letters. I'm going to throw Herod a birthday party. She knows just who to invite, Brother Sutton. She sends all these letters to his buddies and says, come on, we're going barbecue, whatever it is, we're going barbecue. And they were Romans. I guess they had a pig they could barbecue. And we're going to eat all kinds of stuff. And we're going to have a big time. And it's going to be an open bar. So everybody came. And the Bible tells us in the implications of all this that Herodias is working behind the scenes. She's never seen. She's never visible. But she's doing all the planning. She's doing all the inviting. She's the one that made the guest list. This is Herod's birthday bash. We're going to bring all these people in. I'm going to fill this house up with people that Herod knows. And Herod kind of, he's their boss. But really, he kind of does what they tell him to do. And so he gets all these people there. And Herodias is behind the scenes. And she gets her stepdaughter. This is another bunch of mess. Her daughter, Herod's stepdaughter. And she says, go out there and dance for all those guys. Now, I don't want to get too deep into that, but she came out and danced. And she didn't dance to Mary Had a Little Lamb. I don't know what kind of dance it was, but it wasn't probably anything any of us ought to see. She danced. And the Bible says, and I want you to watch what, this is kind of what I'm going to preach here this morning. I preached all this to kind of get to this little point. The Bible says that Herod's sitting there And three times it tells us, twice in Mark and once in Matthew, that he's sitting there and there's a bunch of people with him. In fact, the Bible uses the term those that sat with him. And the Bible said Herod enjoyed the dance and those that sat with him enjoyed the dance. And he's three sheets to the wind and he says, hey, lady, I like that so much. Ask of me whatever you will, up to half the kingdom, and I'll give it to you. And Herodias is looking through the curtains, listening in, and she says, yes, we finally got him. And so the little girl runs out of the room and says to Herodias, what should I ask for? Should we ask for money? Should we ask for a new car? Should I ask for a beach house? And the woman says, ask for the head of John the Baptist in a charger. She comes back in. Everybody's sitting there. Everybody's looking at Herod. Their eyes are kind of bloodshot because of what they've been drinking. And the Bible says she came back in. Herod's laughing. He's joking. He's having time. And she said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And he sobers up because he feared John. He loved John. He heard him preach often. He knew he was a righteous man. He knew he was a godly man. He knew, the Bible said in Luke, in Matthew 21, we knew and we feared him as a prophet. But the Bible says he was the king, the tetrarch. He didn't want to kill John. He put John in prison because of his wife. He put John in prison to have some peace with his own wife. And the Bible says, when that little girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist in a charger, he's sad. The Bible said he was exceeding sorrowful and he was weary. I don't want to kill John. John's a prophet. John's a preacher. John speaks the truth. I shouldn't have married Herodias. I shouldn't have been with her. It was sin. It was ungodliness. But the Bible said, nevertheless, for the sake of those he sat with. He didn't want to kill John, but he, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. But because of who he was sitting with, because of who he had lined up with, because of who he had invited to his birthday party, he couldn't back out now. And the Bible says, for the sake of those that sat with him, he sent an executioner and killed John. And John's head was cut off, and he brought it in a basket on a charger. And all of those people were there. Everybody's having a good time except for Herod. John's head's rolled. He didn't want to kill him. But because of who he was sitting with, because of the culture of the people he was with, he had to. I want to tell you something in this last days. We're going to, in my God, Jesus said, you're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. You can't love me and love the world. I want to tell you something. The longer you sit with the world, the more incensed they're going to become at righteousness. The longer you listen to the world, hey, there's going to come a day you may not want to kill the preacher. You may not want to kill the voice of repentance in your life. But if you keep sitting with who you're sitting with, they're going to demand you got to kill John. If you're going to hang out with us, we can't be listening to that. If you're going to hang out with us, you can't be listening to the preacher. For those that sat by, he had him killed. I want to preach to you. You can stand and preach. You can listen to the voice of repentance. You can listen to the voice of righteousness, and it'll keep some sort of connection to God's way. I may not be living the way I'm living. I ought to be living, but if I keep listening to repentance, there's a connection back to truth. I can keep doing what I want to do, but as long as I go listen to the preacher every now and then, I'll know I'm not too far gone. But I want to tell you something. If you keep sitting with those people at the birthday party, there's going to come a day when they're going to demand, you can't listen to John no more. You got to take that voice out of your life. You can't live and have fun with us and listen to John. John died in prison because of the contentions of the people. If it had just been Herod and Herodias, he'd have told her, he's right. You know we shouldn't be together. I'm not going to let you kill him. In fact, the Bible said she would have killed him, but Herod wouldn't let her. She could not. But Herodias knew, I'll get him in a position where he can't say no. I'll get him in a position where he can't back down. I'm going to kill repentance in our lives. So John the Baptist dies, and Herod's lost his voice of repentance. Everything's going good now, because Herodias is happy. I've had backsliders tell me, man, my life's going so great. Yeah, it's easy to have fun when there's no voice of repentance. You can get along good with Herodias when John the Baptist isn't telling her you shouldn't be together. You can have fun in sin as long as nobody's telling you you ought not be doing that. But their Bible tells us three different places that Herod wanted to see Jesus. He had heard a lot about him. Heard of all the miracles that he had done. No doubt he remembered John preaching about this one coming after me. The Bible records, I believe all four Gospels record it, that Herod was desirous to see Jesus. I'd like to go hear him preach. I'd like to go see him do a miracle. I'd like to see him heal somebody. He's desirous to see Jesus. And the Bible tells us that time marches on. We get to my text, and I'm pretty close to being finished. The Bible says the high priest and the scribes hated Jesus because he was a man who claimed to be God. And they brought him before Pilate. Pilate was the governor. And the Bible says they stated their case against Jesus. Pilate heard it. And he said, I find no fault in this man. In fact, the implication is in all the recordings of this story that when Pilate examine Jesus. I want to tell you something. You can't examine Jesus without getting changed and without getting touched and without the righteousness of God calling to you. You can't. If you look at Jesus long enough, you're going to start being drawn to him. You're going to start being pulled towards him. You're going to start wanting to love him and wanting to know him and wanting to worship him. When you examine Jesus, you're going to see the Savior. You're going to see the risen Lord. You're going to see the Lamb slain from the foundation. When you start looking at Jesus, you're going to see the shepherd and the bishop of souls. When you start examining Jesus, you're going to start seeing the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. If you start looking at Jesus, you'll find no malice and no fault in him. Pilate said, I don't see anything. All I see is a healer. All I see is a miracle worker. All I see is a savior. All I see is somebody that's good and loves you and loves me. Let's don't kill him. The Bible says those people, they wouldn't hear it. The Bible says they were more fierce, saying, he stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard the word Galilee, something pinged in his spirit. And he had an enemy named Herod. They didn't like each other. There was strife and enmity between them. Political rivals, if you will. They weren't friends. But Pilate knew that of a long time Herod had wanted to see Jesus. And he says, this guy's a Galilean. Herod's the tetrarch of Galilee. He'll save him. He's been wanting to see him for a long time. He's been wanting to see a miracle done. He's been wanting to teach, talk with Jesus and learn from Jesus. Herod will save him. And so he finds out Herod's in Jerusalem. And he sends Jesus to Herod. And I read you the text that when Pilate delivered Jesus to Herod, that Herod was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. I've been wanting to talk to this guy. He's a good preacher. I've been listening to him on Holy Ghost Radio. Man, the guy is incredible. I just want to sit and talk to him. I want to see him do a miracle. I've heard that he healed the sick. I've heard that he raised the dead. I heard he turned water to wine. I just want to see him do something. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And Jesus stood before him. And the Bible said, Herod asked him many things. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about? He asked him many questions over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over and over and over. And the Bible said Jesus answered him not a word. You didn't know that when you killed John the Baptist, when you killed the voice of repentance in your life, Herod, Jesus has nothing to say to you. Doesn't matter how close you want to get to him, Herod. Doesn't matter how good you want to talk with him and all the things you want to see him do. When you get rid of repentance in your life, Herod, Jesus has nothing to say. Because the only way you get to God is through repentance. And the only way you get to God is when a preacher convicts your heart. Herod, I know John made you mad. And for the oath's sake, and for those that sat by, you had repentance banished from your life. You cut off the mouth of the preacher of righteousness in your world. And Jesus has nothing to say to you. And one of the saddest statements in the Bible. If you'll imagine with me, I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one that gets moved by what I'm preaching here this morning, but this right here keeps me up at night. Jesus is standing in front of Pilate, and in his heart, he had wanted to see him for a long time. This was the moment he had been waiting for. I want to stand before Jesus. I want to see him do a miracle. I want to hear him teach. I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him preach to me. And while I'm standing here, he's not saying nothing. And all of a sudden, as they're sitting there looking at each other, and Herod's longing for Jesus just to open his mouth, all around the room, people start standing up. One by one. The scribes and the priests and the elders of Israel. And the Bible said they begin to yell vehemently. They begin to accuse him. And they're screaming. He's a devil. He's a stirrer up of strange God. Although he wanted to see Jesus, he wanted to be with him, he wanted to learn from him, he wanted to see him do a miracle. Everybody in the room hates him. And this swift change comes over Herod. And no doubt those that sat in the room the day he killed John the Baptist are sitting around with him. And the Bible said Herod and his men began to mock him. And one of Herod's buddies brings a gorgeous robe and puts it on him. And they begin to cry. And the Bible said they set him at naught. Nothing to him. Yeah, there was, Herod. You wanted to see it for a long time. But because of those that sat by,
you killed repentance. And because of those that stood by, you mocked Jesus and set him at naught. And the Bible said on this day that Pilate and Herod became friends. Because the Bible tells us that Herod was desirous to see Jesus. It tells us in Luke chapter 23 that Pilate was willing to set him free. Acts chapter 3 verse 13 says, not only was Pilate willing, he was determined to release Jesus. But because of where Pilate and Herod sat, and because of who sat with them, they became friends. And Herod killed John the Baptist. And the Bible said Pilate was willing to release Jesus, and he was determined to release Jesus. But the saddest words are in the book of Luke, the book of Mark, it says, he was more willing to content the people. He was willing to set him free. He was determined to set him free. But he had to content those people he sat with. The Bible said three times as musicians come, three times in that courtroom, he tried to release Jesus. He sent him to Herod. Herod will save him. He offered them the choice between Jesus and Barabbas, a murderer, one of sedition, a terror, a robber, a man that would strike fear into the heart of the people, a man that when he was arrested, everyone breathed a sigh of relief. And Pilate said, I'll give you Jesus or Barabbas. And those that sat by, unbelievably, he could not possibly conceive why. Why do you want Barabbas instead of Jesus? There's no fault in him, and he's a murderer. Willing to content the people. He had Jesus scourged and delivered him to be crucified. And the Bible says the sad words. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He didn't want to do it. But those that sat by, those that he had aligned himself with. And when he tried to make a stand for righteousness, the Bible said there was a tumult made around him. And because he didn't want to upset those people he was hanging out with, because he didn't want to upset his friends and his family, he watched as the voice of righteousness and truth was beaten, crucified. But he found him a friend by the name of Herod. They were enemies. But they made up the day that Jesus died. Herod, you killed repentance. Pilate, you killed salvation. So you guys go off into your existence, your buddies, your friends. And neither one of you wanted to do what you did. But because of those you sat with, because of those you ate with, because of your coworkers and your friends and those in your school and those in your class, you really wanted to see Jesus of a long time. You really wanted to meet with him. But the world hates him. And Herodias wants to kill him. Stand with me. We're living in a world that never before in the history of time has truth been under such a barrage of evil. Our governments, our courts, the will of the people Let's get Jesus out. Let's get him out of our schools. Let's get him out of our marriages. Let's get him out of our lives. Let's get him out of our very thinking. Romans chapter 1. They didn't want to even think about him. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. Let's get him out of our minds. Let's get him out of our vocabulary. You can say whatever you want to say on national TV, but don't say Jesus. Just this past week, the youngest ever a boy kissed a boy. 12 years old, I believe. National television. Prime time. But you better not say Jesus. Because Herodias hates him. And the scribes hate him. And you can be neutral if you want to, but there's going to come a day when Herodias is going to say, it's either me or John. And there's going to come a day when the people in Pilate's court are going to say, us or him? We'll live with Barabbas. We'll live with murder. We'll live with our kids being raped. We'll live with our children being molested. We'll live with our houses being robbed. We'll live with fear. We'll live with unrighteousness. But we don't want Jesus. I'd rather put bars over my windows than have you tell me about Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you going to be friends with Herod? Are you going to stand up and say, I don't care what the world says, and I'm tired of listening to the voices around me. I've examined Jesus, and I want to know him more. I don't care what the world says about him. I don't care what my friends say. I looked at Jesus, and I find no fault. I find peace, joy, happiness. Oh, it's a big step to stand out for Jesus, but oh, the rewards. Ah, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Herod, you loved him. What a sad story, Herod. You weren't necessarily a bad man. You were just a weak man. You loved John, but you killed him because Herodias wanted him to. She wanted to kill him, but she could not. But you could, Herod. Jesus looked at those men that day and he said, you don't love me because you're seeking to kill me. They said, we're of our father Abraham. Jesus said, no. No, if Abraham was your father, you'd love me. If Abraham was your dad, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But you are of your father, the devil, and his desire you'll fulfill. You keep hanging out with Herodias, Jesus said, and you're going to cut John's head off. You keep hanging out with Herodias, and you're going to crucify Jesus. You keep hanging out with those that sit by, and they're going to stand and clamor for the life of the man that you once desired to see and know. This world we're living in hates our God. That's why the Bible said, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. I don't know about you today, but I want to step away from the crowd. I want to step away from those that are finding pleasure in every part of life. Because I don't have to kill John. Because I'm the king. I can tell Herodias, you're crazy. I can say, little girl, you don't even know what you're talking about. But for the sake of those that sat by, hallelujah. who you're sitting with today. Who's the main voice in your life? Because his lust you will fulfill. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that wants to step away from the clamoring, screaming mob that's after Jesus' head and say, I don't want to go that way. I want to know him today. I've examined him and I find no fault in him. I'm not going to kill him in my life. I'm going to let him bring life to me. I'm going to let him resurrect my life and make me what he wants me to be. I'm going to submit to repentance today. I'm going to respect John the Baptist because he's a prophet. I want him to preach repentance to me again, because without repentance, Jesus has nothing to say. Preach to me, John. Preach to me, Jesus. I want to step away from the crowd today, the clamoring mob. And I want to do what's right. As they begin to sing, I wonder, is there anybody wants to make your way to this altar and say, I want to know him today. I want to examine him again today. I find no fault in him. The world hates him. The people I'm sitting with hate him. But I find no fault in him. There's nothing. Herod didn't find any fault. I didn't find any fault. He's not worthy to die. Give myself away. Come on, Herod, what are you going to do today? Come on, Pilate. Are you going to consent to people? Are you going to determine to release Jesus? I was willing. I was determined to live for God. Nevertheless, because of the will of the people, I put him to death. Come on. Are you going to do what the world requires? Are you going to submit before Jesus today? Are you going to do what Herod requires? Are you going to stand before God and say, I want to see you today? Give myself away so you can use me. Come on, Herod. Don't kill John the Baptist. Don't kill repentance. Don't kill righteousness. Don't kill truth. Let truth convict you today. Let truth touch you today. Come on, church, would you reach over and pray for somebody? Come on, I'm inviting everybody to come. Come on, everybody, let's pray for a little while. Let's let God help us today. Let's let God touch our hearts today. I don't want to crucify Jesus. I don't want to make friends with Herod today. I don't want to make friends with Herod today. Oh God, I want to do what's right. I want to live for God. I want to hear truth preached every day of my existence. I don't want to kill John the Baptist today. Give myself away. Come on, hands are lifted all across this room today. I want to step away from the crowd. I don't want the crowd to answer for me today. I hear the crowd crying, crucify him. I don't want to be in the crowd. I don't want to be in the crowd. Give myself away so you can use me. Hey, Herod, you got a new friend today.
Use me for your glory.
You got a new friend today, Herod. But you lost salvation. You lost truth. You lost righteousness. You lost holiness. You got a new friend today, Pilate. But you lost the voice of repentance. You lost the way to the cross. Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost together. All across this place, every hand's lifted, every eye's closed, every heart's praying. God, I want to hear from you today. I want truth to touch my heart. I want truth to convict my spirit. I'm stepping away from the crowd today. I'm stepping away from the table. I'm stepping away from those that are clamoring against him. I give myself away. So you can you
give myself away.
Let's cry out to him today. I've examined him. I find no fault in him. You seek to kill him, but I'm going to seek to worship him. I want to hear. Come on, the Holy Ghost is falling here this morning. Let's let conviction rain on us today. Let's let repentance work in us today. John the Baptist, keep preaching to me. Keep telling me I'm wrong. Keep preaching sin. Come on, John the Baptist. Give myself
away. So you can use me. Lord, I give myself away. I give myself away.
Give myself away.
So you can use me.
I don't want to do what the world's requiring. What am I going to do with Jesus? The world requires to put him to death. The world requires to crucify him. I'm going to choose to live for him today. What you gonna do with Jesus today, Pilate? What you gonna do with Jesus today, Herod? Are you gonna mock him? Are you gonna clamor him? Are you gonna set him at naught? Are you gonna live for him today? Yes, yes. Give myself away.
Use me for